Okay, it is May 12th, 2021. It is 6 p.m. My name is Mayor Julia Johnson, and I call this Sijiwili Council meeting to order. Will you please all stand with me to say the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everyone. So we will start with roll call. I will begin with Councilman Brendan McGoffin. I don't see him on the Zoom meeting yet. I'm sure he'll be here shortly. So Councilwoman Joellen Kesty.
Present.
Thank you. Councilmember Sarah Diamond.
Present.
Thank you. Councilmember Glenn Allen.
Present.
Thank you. Councilmember Chuck Owen.
Present.
Thank you. And Councilmember Carl DeYoung.
Present.
And Councilmember Kevin Loy.
Here.
Thank you. We'll keep our eyes out for Brendan. Moving on to approval of the agenda, we do have late materials. Do not know if you saw that. There are two of them, but they're for basically the same thing. The first is actually, it's a ratification for an emergency declaration. And the first would be, shall the council ratify an emergency order to replace the wastewater treatment plant UV disinfection system modules? And the second would be then, if you do approve that, should the council move to approve a resolution authorizing Public Works Director Mike Freiberger to issue the attached purchase order to replace those modules for the wastewater treatment plant. So in looking for an approval for the agenda, adding those two late materials would need to be included. Do I have a motion?
Madam Mayor, this is Councilmember DeYoung. I move the agenda, including the two late materials.
Great, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. So I had a motion by Councilman DeYoung, seconded by Councilwoman Kesty. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay. Motion carries. Now the consent agenda, items 1 through 4. Do I have a motion?
Madam Mayor?
Yes. Councilman Owen,
I make a motion we approve agenda 1 through 4.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Adam, I second that motion.
Thank you, Councilman Allen.
Ellen, I'll second.
So we had a motion by Councilman Owen, second by Councilman Allen. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries. So before I move into staff reports, we actually have some wonderful news. Today, Debbie Burton, who comes to us from the city of Snohomish, has accepted our offer to come on as our new finance director. As I said, Debbie does come from the city of Snohomish, and she has met with all our finance staff. I got to say, it's a really good fit. And moreover, Debbie is quite experienced, especially in municipal government. So I think that'll be really a good fit. Long time in coming, but I think we've got the right person here. And I do know that Doug will share more about that as we move through our reports. So we'll begin with staff reports. And so I'll actually begin with you, Doug. We'll switch this up a bit.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. Good evening, City Council. Let me just flip to my next page here. So tonight, Jill will not be on with this. She had an appointment tonight that she had to catch. So I'm going to go ahead and combine finance and my office together tonight. So first, as the mayor just mentioned, we have a new finance director. Debbie comes from the city of Snohomish. She was the finance director there for 14 years. So when she comes in, she'll be hitting the ground running, and which will be great. And she's already been up to meet the staff and have conversations with the mayor and I. So we're very excited to have her on board. Of course, that'll lead into my next item is transition steps. That'll have us working on that probably over the next couple of months. Jill will be working with her, as will I. So we'll be able to just keep things moving. On the finance side, this is an important time of the year. We file with the state auditors by May 30th. And this is for the year 2020. And so we're probably 95% of the way done compiling all our financial statements and everything for them. I'm going to try to get that done a few days before the end of the month and put a check in that box and have that done. So we don't know yet when the auditors will come. Typically, it's probably the August to September time, but they do schedule us around other cities and the county. So it'll be kind of just wait to see when they contact us. One thing that we'll be doing kind of on the people side of business is labor negotiations are coming up for one of our bargaining units. We call it the Ask Me unit, and it's a big long acronym. It stands for the Association of Federal, State, County, and Municipal Employees. So we'll be starting that probably in June, getting the initial steps underway. I've been in contact with the Ask Me representative out of Everett, Joe Downs. So you'll be hearing us talking about that, and we'll have further discussions as those negotiations go on in the future. There are a couple of items on for tonight. We have a jail use agreement. I won't go into the details of that. We can talk about later if you have questions. And there's a development agreement as well. Those have just been items I've been working on with Nikki and with a local developer in the county and the mayor and a cast of thousands. So it's been good information. We're bringing that all forward. And that's all that I have for this evening, Mayor.
Thank you, Doug. All right, we'll move on to Fire Chief Frank Wagner.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just want to start off with a congratulations. As you all know, we've been working on our succession plan to fill the positions of Assistant Chief that will be vacated by Todd Olson, who's retiring at the end of June, and Chief Klinger, with him leaving and me moving into his spot to fill mine. So the first stage of that is now complete. We finished up our process this last week and extended a job offer to Jerry Gardner, who has been a lieutenant with us and served with the volunteer department here with us for almost 20 years. He brings with him a master's degree in education, and some of you probably know him also with the athletic director for the Cedar Valley School District. His first day with us in the city here as a career assistant chief in that capacity will be June 16th, and we're excited to see what he has to offer and what he brings to the table and help with our future transitions and growth here in the city. Also, vaccinations, as you know, over the past 5 or 6 months, we started with having issues of having enough vaccinations. Now we have plenty of them and not enough people that want them any longer. So there's plenty of appointments available. You can get online through the state's website or the county. We have them locally here at Rite Aid, Walgreens, Schaffner Pharmacy, and they're even offering no appointment necessary vaccines at the fairgrounds on Thursdays now from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. You can just walk up and get those. And they're expecting to also open up for 12-year-olds up to 15, 12 to 15 that were previously not available to get the vaccines for approval now locally. It's already done by the CDC from what I understand, but locally they're expecting that to be opened up by Thursday or Friday of this week is the plan. Also, I want to put a shout out to the Volunteer Association, who is doing another testing process this Saturday. They're looking for volunteers who live here in the city, as well as folks that are interested in our resident program to move in and gain the experiences to move on to that next level. And then our last reminder is next Friday, not this Friday, but the following Friday, the 21st, will be our open house for the 100th year anniversary. We will have some pictures and refreshments and stuff from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. with another festivity at 2 p.m. for Chief Klinger and his retirement and 40 years of service with us. We'll have the full honor guard presentation, flyby by life flight helicopters, and a flag presentation and the whole work. So if you're available, we'd love to have you stop by.
All right, thank you, Chief. And welcome Jerry Gardner. That's congratulations to him. Also want to make note, Trina, that we have Councilman Brendan McGoffin joining us. So welcome, Brendan.
Thank you.
And we will move on now to Chief Tucker.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a couple things here. We have RTF training, that's Rescue Task Force, active shooter training going on the 17th. And I think we've already got a couple of people that are from the council we're interested in attending. Looking forward to that, getting all our new people up to snuff on that kind of training. The next city council meeting, Lieutenant McElwraith has set up a presentation by the IMPACT team. That's the integrative model of police and crisis team. So that's the embedded social worker, mental health professional that's working with the sheriff's office. They're expanding their program, and we're looking forward to getting more of their services and getting integrated into that program a little bit more. We are certainly needing it. We are overwhelmed on a lot of days with calls that those folks could help us out. So look forward to that presentation on the next city council meeting. Some of you may have heard the incident at Mount Vernon Police Department. That kind of segues, a good segue from the IMPACT team. They had a subject with mental issues and drug issues that, while trying to escape from ninjas or people chasing him, broke into the Mount Vernon Police Department and set it on fire last week. Fortunately, it seems like the damage was not too extensive. And that subject will be facing some consequences, but the real issue here is these are the kind of people that we are running into every day. And it's a shame that more isn't being done on a grander scheme to get them some help, but we're working towards that. And I'm thinking some of the things that are going to be coming our way in the future are going to be leading towards some better treatment for folks like that. Tomorrow, myself and Lieutenant McElwraith, just tomorrow, I'm going to be attending Next Steps program by the Chiefs and Sheriffs Association, talking about some of the things that have come down from the legislature and some of the things that we're going to have to do to integrate this into our current work. There's quite a bit that was affecting police departments, and we'll be looking at some of those things. We're going to be piggybacking on to some great work that Oak Harbor Police Department's already started on some of the requirements we're going to face from that last legislative session. And finally, we got Rachel started this week. Rachel Humberg started in the office. She's doing all the administrative things she needs to do this week and waiting for uniforms and bits and pieces to come in. She's going to be qualified at the range here real soon, and we're looking forward to getting her out on the road immediately. She is chomping at the bit. She's already been a trainee officer, and she's looking forward to getting back in the saddle and getting back to work. And that's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Moving on to Director of Building and Permits, John Coleman.
Good evening, Council. Thank you, Mayor. So not a lot to talk about today, just processing lots of permits and working with the Planning Commission for next week to be talking about design standards, particularly in the Central Business District, to address modifications to buildings. So they'll be starting the real work of that. We're going to take on a couple of topics within that within the umbrella of that issue and take them bit by bit. It's kind of a It's a mountain to move, so we'll be doing shovel loads at a time, so to say. And then tonight, I have two things on the agenda that have already made it through the Planning Commission, so I'll be talking to you more about those topics in just a little while.
All right, thank you, John. Director of Public Works, Mark Freiberger.
Thank you, Mayor. A few things to report on tonight, Council. The wastewater treatment plant electrical project is just about complete. We had a few software issues to resolve over the last week. One of those was resolved today. The other one we expect either during the rest of this week or early next. Project went well, seems to be doing what it was designed to do. We'll follow up on that with a new arc flash study to make sure that we accomplished our goals of reducing incident energy from our motor control centers there sometime in the next month or two. The Jones-John Liner BNSF bridge, I finally today got word from BNSF that they are ready to go. They have already delivered the piling up there and done some preliminary layout work. I'll be meeting with their superintendent tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock on site just to confirm that our surveying matches what their plans say. And they'll be starting to actually drive piles on Monday the 17th. We have put a preliminary notice out to the public and we'll follow up with some door hangers for the neighborhoods in the vicinity tomorrow. Wally's going to start on that, do it tomorrow and Friday. Pile driving is noisy and can produce some vibrations. And so we're going to warn the, especially the trailers that are close to where those operations are going to be, that they may need to protect any glassware that's on shelves and things like that. Just so you'll know, pile driving like that with a, it's basically an impact hammer. I understand the report of that is about like a 30-06 rifle going off. So fairly loud, and it's going to be a lot of it going from somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. for probably at least a couple of weeks. So we'll do our best to make sure the public is informed on that. If you get any complaints, just direct them my way, at Public Works. And let's see, other things going on, the design work for the laboratory operations building and the Public Works building, we did receive permit level plans for both of those structures, and Tony Niskanen is reviewing those. And we are moving ahead with that project being ready to advertise for bids in July. I'll be providing a memo to council at the next meeting to talk about the updated estimate on the wastewater lab building. It did exceed the engineer's estimate by a fair amount. We have discussed that among ourselves, and I've also have Katie Isaacson looking at the sewer financial plan to make sure we can fit that in. It appears from my preliminary analysis we can quite handily because of the increased service connections we're expecting over the next several years. It should be no real major impact on our rate structure that we see from that. It's moving things around a bit to make it happen. So you'll hear more on that at the next council meeting. And beyond that, tomorrow is the due date for our STP or Service Transportation Block Grant Program grants that are due to SCOG. And what I've been working on today is a application to do the rest of the improvements for the John Liner arterial improvements. I'd like to share my screen real quick, Bill, if that's possible. And can you see this graphic on your screens, folks? Yes, thank you, Lynn.
Yep.
So John Liner Road from basically Reed Street on the west to Township Street on the east. And this is a part of the overall Jones-John Liner Trail Corridor project. We have an application that I did a presentation on yesterday to build a signal at the intersection of John Liner, McGargle, and Highway 9. That was for match funds for a TIB grant that we'll apply for in August. I think that went pretty well. There were 17 applications, however, for $3.5 million worth of projects. There was about double that in applications. So we'll just see what happens with that. But anyway, that's the signal at this intersection. This project, we already have funds for building the shared use path on the north side of this from Reed to Township. We received those from a 2019 block grant program. What we're proposing to do with this application is to combine that with another application to fund the rest of the road improvements. Just kind of makes sense to do it all at once. And since we are feeling relatively optimistic about the signal, that's been the holdup on our moving forward with the sidewalk design or the shared use path, just knowing how the right-of-way was going to work down in the vicinity of the intersection. There's a number of takes that would be involved, and until we really know what that design looks like, it didn't make sense to move forward with the design for the rest of the route. So I think if we are successful with the signal project, we'll be in shape to design basically the intersection improvements and the roadway improvements at the same time. We have the funds to design the path already. If we can combine that with the roadway and do it all at once, I think that's a good win-win all the way around. I'm going to show you one other screen. I may have to exit and redo that. In fact, I know I will. So let me just do that. And then I'll reshare with a different screen here for you. Okay, I have an Excel file up on here now. Can you see that okay?
Yes.
The original bicycle pedestrians improvements project was estimated at $579,000. It had a $500,000 grant that we have received commitment for, and then a local match of $78,000. The full project, including the path, was estimated at $1.9 million in our final scoping study. It included some right-of-way and the design and the construction and construction engineering. Funding at 86.5% block grant and 13.5% city is shown there. Just blending those two together, the difference in what we'll be asking for is $1,142,000 and some change from block grant funds. And then we would have a city match requirement of $178,335. And I mentioned to you at the last couple council meetings, I'd be bringing this to you with my reports tonight. What we would like to have, if council is amenable to this plan, is an authorization for the mayor to sign an SDP block grant application for the John Liner Road Arterial Improvements Project with a match commitment of $178,335 to be updated with the final application submittal. So that is what I'd like to bring before you tonight. And the mayor is amenable for someone to make a motion to that effect, we'll be able to move forward with that grant application tomorrow.
Okay. So Mark, tell the council where the matching funds are going to come from.
Yes, they would come from a combination of our account 104, ending fund balance, our TBD funds, our GMA impact fee funds that we've been running that big spreadsheet on. You've seen a couple of times. We have room within that to do this in the 2023 window. Shouldn't be any problem. Doug and I have been reviewing that. He hasn't seen these numbers tonight, but he's familiar with the overall spreadsheet. And I should ask him to comment on that and see if he's comfortable with this as well.
Yeah, I'd like to get Mr. Merriman's feedback on this.
Yeah, the numbers that I've worked with Mark on in the past, I haven't seen this particular spreadsheet. I'd like to go over it a little bit more with Mark, but what we had laid out before, everything penciled out over the time frame that we were talking about. So I'll need a little more time to go over with Mark and just see if there's any significant changes or all.
So do you want council to wait on this? What would be your recommendation if you wanted to?
What I would recommend, Mayor, is you could make this motion subject to Doug's review and approval, because the grant is due tomorrow. I apologize that we weren't able to get it in sooner. In fact, even today, I had another emergency to deal with, as you know, so it's pushed me a little more than I hope.
Yeah, which you'll be talking about with us here in a few minutes. Yeah, okay.
So we could, we could make it subject to...
I can do that. We can look for a motion to approve the funding as you are requesting it, subject to Mr. Merriman's review. How's that?
That sounds perfect.
I'd be good with that.
Madam Mayor?
Yes?
Is this an appropriate time to make a motion?
Go ahead. Yes.
Thank you. I would like to move to authorize Mayor Cedar Woolley to sign the STBP grant application for the John Liner Road Arterial Improvement Project with match commitment of $178,335 to be updated with the final application subject to city supervisor review.
Perfect. Thank you. Do we have a second?
Madam Mayor, I will second that. Councilwoman Diamond.
Thank you, Councilwoman Diamond. So we have a motion by Councilman DeYoung, seconded by Councilwoman Diamond, to, as Councilman DeYoung stated, so we don't have to restate it again. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. Okay, good deal. All right, Mark. Looks like it's a go, pending what Doug has to say.
Appreciate that. That's good prudent thinking on that. Also, mentioned the emergency that came up today and the emergency declaration that you approved earlier. Just a little background on that. For several weeks now, the crew's been struggling with meeting our permit requirement fecal coliform readings coming off the outfall of the plant. And basically, the final step in our treatment plant process is a ultraviolet disinfection array. It's three banks of tubes. They look somewhat like 48 inch long. They're a little longer than that. Fluorescent lamps. What that does is the UV will break up and destroy bacteria before the water, the wastewater discharge to the slough and ultimately to the Skagit River. And we have a certain minimum requirement for treatment on that we have to meet. And so what we found some years ago, Debbie Allen and I worked out a process to acquire third party tubes to replace the proprietary ones that were put in the upgrade for the plant in 1998. Trojan Systems out of London, Ontario, Canada produces those, and they're fairly expensive. And so we were trying to save some money with what we thought would be fully compatible US-made tubes to do that. And we were fairly successful for a number of years, but we always did struggle with, in some senses, with these in terms of replacement time. We found that the third party or the alternative manufacturers weren't just lasting as long as the Trojan versions were. And so there's been some concern about that for a while, but over the last bit, we've also found that the tubes themselves are just not producing the UV that they're advertised to produce. We cannot be in the position where we can't meet our permit requirements. So what we recommended and what you approved was for us to sole source with Trojan and go back to the original manufacturer product to do this. And we're confident that we will actually save money on that because we've had to run all three of our banks instead of running one at normal flow to meet our requirements. The first bank is for normal flows, the second bank kicks in at higher flows, and the third is a backup redundancy. So now we're running all three just to meet our minimums. And so our power consumption is much higher than it should be. Casey's note that was a part of the late materials explains all that if you have any curiosity about it, but that's the background on it. It's to make sure we can continue to meet our permit requirements and also get the plant back to where it should be in terms of rep- placement schedules for these tubes. So
question.
That's all. Yes.
Mark, so these alternate tubes, I think I heard you say they're not performing as advertised. So that usually brings up the next question of, can we claw back the cost of those? Is there some sort of refund or recompense that we can get for using items that aren't working as advertised? Thank you.
Yes, the current bank of tubes were put in just several months ago, and they simply aren't performing. So we're going to return those to the manufacturer under their warranty. That's the intention.
So Mark, would you like us to go ahead and look at this resolution now, since you have brought it forward, if the council does not mind? I realize we're right in the middle of council reports, staff reports, but does council have that in front of them? It is late materials that were submitted, and this of course would be the approval of resolution 106921. And it would authorize Mr. Freiberger the ability to issue the attached purchase order of 2021 P005 for the replacement of those wastewater treatment plant UV disinfectant system modules with the original equipment that was manufactured by the Trojan UV of London, Ontario, Canada. This would be in the amount of $31,136.87, including sales tax as per quotation of 123833, dated May 10th of 2021. So having heard what Mark had to say, do you have any more questions for Mark? Do we have a motion to approve this resolution? Do we want to table this?
Madam Mayor, Councilman Allen, does this have to be, well, okay, I will make the motion to see if there's a second available.
Because actually, the emergency declaration, when we approved the agenda, I do believe we approved that. Not unless I'm mistaken, Mr. Merriman, is that correct? We approved the...
Madam Mayor, I'll second Glenn Allen.
Mayor, I do believe that's correct, Mark, that the emergency declaration was approved with the consent.
Right. Okay. So we do have a motion then by Councilman Allen, and it was seconded by Councilwoman Kesty. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Same sign. Okay, motion carries. So we can get those modules in place and get those ordered. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Council and Mayor.
And does that conclude your report?
It does. Thank you.
All right. We will move on then to Director of IT, Bill Chambers.
Hi, all. We're doing a lot of prep work with Romaker on getting the materials for the cemetery management software implementation. That's IT, Parks, finance and engineering working on that. We're a lot of public surplus vehicles and equipment still out there and managing that. Glenn's been working on some workstation upgrades, upgrading some disks to larger capacity and solid state, and lots of setup for new hires. and there's probably gonna be a lot more. And that's mainly it.
Right. You always say that's mainly it, but we know it's a lot. You make it sound super simple, but we know it's not. So thank you, Bill. Thank you to you and Glenn. And then our illustrious city attorney, Nikki Thompson.
Illustrious. That is quite the compliment. I actually don't have anything of interest to the group this evening.
All right. Okay, thank you, Nikki.
Thank you.
Then we will move on to council reports, and I'll start with Councilman Brendan McGoffin.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have no report this evening. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Councilwoman Joellen Kesty.
Thank you, Mayor. I wanted to use this time to express my thanks to John Coleman and the Planning Commission on their hard work in preparing tonight's potential amendments to regulations for digital signs. If council sees fit to approve it, I know it will make a huge difference for businesses getting their advertising out quickly and efficiently with the hopes of keeping our citizens shopping local. So thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Councilwoman Kesty. Councilwoman Sarah Diamond.
Nothing to present at this time.
All right, thank you. Councilman Glenn Allen.
Nothing at this time, Madam Mayor.
All right, thank you. Councilman Chuck Owen.
I have nothing to Madam Mayor.
All right, thank you. Councilman Carl DeYoung.
It's like a lot of COVID house restoration home projects are kicking off, so that's good to see. That helps with the local economy. I just wanted to let folks know that I will be participating in the next meeting. I will be out of state for family business, and we'll see you on Zoom on the 26th.
All right, thank you. And Councilman Kevin Loy.
Greetings, everybody. After our retreat last week, I started working on one of the projects, particularly the skateboard exhibition. And I'm working with another person. We're going to put together kind of like an operations manual from A to Z. So if I drop dead after it's written, you can follow along and follow the yellow brick road. But one of the things I found out is people are pretty impressed with what we've done in the past. And it sounds like there's going to be some more help in the future. So there's there's people that want to make it a success. And this time we know who they are. So hopefully by maybe September, I'll have an operations manual put together so everybody can take a look at it. But we should be shooting for September of 2022 should be our restart date. But I'm putting together an operations manual for everybody to take a look at, and which should, you know, guide the whole operation.
All right, perfect. Thank you, Kevin. Does that conclude your report?
Yeah, unless you want to hear my aches and pains.
All right, we'll move on. So I want to thank the council for coming together last Friday. We had some great discussion and we covered a lot of topics. It gives actually I and Doug a lot to think about as we're moving through the budget and getting ready for the 2022 budget. So you'll probably be hearing more about that, especially as we move into the fall of the year. There'll be a lot more discussion. One thing that I want to maybe bring to your attention, if you are interested, as you probably know, 2 weeks ago, the governor did create a pause. He didn't move us back and he didn't move us forward. He created a pause. Tomorrow in the afternoon, he will make another announcement. And so we will know at that point exactly what his plans are. Hopefully it'll be good things. That's what we're hoping, is that it'll be good things. And based upon what he has to say, we'll determine exactly when we'll be coming back as a council within the council chambers and opening up our municipal buildings and opening up the shelters at our parks. All good things that we want to see happen, that I really want to see happen, but we will wait to see what the governor has to say tomorrow. We received a really nice letter from Dale Robertson, who is president of the museum, and I'll just read it to you. He says, "Dear Mayor Julia," he said, "the City of Cedar Woolley Museum wants to thank you and yours for the continued support. You have allowed us to maintain the museum, run by volunteers, and do it through donations. The museum volunteers also want to tell you about some special people. And those two people are your employees, Nathan Salsina and Kevin Kesty. We appreciate all the help that they have given us, the needed muscle, the building skills, and all the other projects that they help with. The museum volunteers also wanted to let you know what special gentlemen they are, and we appreciate them, you, and the city. We send a special invite to all of your staff and to the council to come see all the changes that have been taken place over the last year. It is well worth a look. And I concur with that. It is well worth a look. The volunteers there, and I know Ms. Kesty is one of them who does that. There are some great displays, and I encourage you to do that. But we do also want to extend huge thanks. We already know that we have real gems in Nathan and Kevin and Brent and a lot of the others that are there in parks and streets. And that is all that I have for that. We will move now into public comments. It is 6:41, and I will open up public comments. I ask that you state your name and your address and try to keep it within 3 minutes. So is there anyone who would like to give public comment at this time? Okay, hearing none, I will close public comment at 6:42, and I will open it up to public hearings. So a notice of public hearing was given by our city, the city of Cedar Woolley, to hold a public hearing tonight at our 6 o'clock council meeting via Zoom. The purpose of this hearing is to request approval of a development agreement between the city of Cedar Woolley and Hodge and Corner LLC for scheduling and payment of general facility charges. We did encourage citizens to attend this hearing or submit comments in writing by 5 p.m. on May 11th, which was yesterday, to Doug Merriman. And as of today, we have not received any written comments. But I will open up public comment. It is 6:42. And if you would like to make a public comment regarding the approval of the development agreement between the city and Hodge and Corner LLC. Please state your name and your address and try to keep it between 3 minutes. Okay, hearing none, no requests to comment. I will close the public hearing or the public comment at or public hearing, there we go, at 6:43. We will move on. So Doug, I think this is yours, isn't it? The development agreement?
It is. Thank you, Mayor and City Council. This item, first I'll talk about just a development agreement in general a little bit. I don't know if the city has used them a lot, but we have a lot of new members and even staff. So just really quick, a development agreement, when you have a significant agreement that's significant in size or complexity, a lot of times cities will use a development agreement. And what this does, especially in a multi-phase or a multi-year project, it lays out the obligations of both parties, the city and the developer, and you're able to set the standards and conditions of the development. We don't do handshake deals. This puts it on paper and makes sure that we have a good agreement in place just so there's no confusion. And so with this particular development, Hodgen Group has been working with us for a couple of months now. The main topic of discussion is how to time their general facility charges. And this is for sewer. And in a project this size, the total amount of fees that they'll pay to the city is about, I believe it was about $686,000. So in order to kind of help facilitate the process, we worked with the developer on the timing of their fees. Because it's a multi-phase project and over a period of time, a developer usually, just like if you're building a house, the bank will give you enough money to get to the next step. They don't cut you a check for the whole house and just let you go build it. It's the same thing on a development project. The bank will look at what percent you've completed and they will fund you up to that point. So when it comes to the payment of general facility charges, it's helpful if you can put an agreement together that times those based with occupancy. So with this particular project, they'll have 76 residential units with some commercial mixed in. So what this will do is there are three steps that they will pay their general facility charges. So, and you can find these on page 57 of your agenda packets if you have those available. But instead of paying everything right up front, what we'll do is they will pay 5% of their connection fees, which is about just under $33,000 when they do their first temporary certificate of occupancy. The next step is they'll pay 45%, almost half of the connection fee, when they hit that golden mark. It's called 90-90. And for developers, that's when they've had 90 days of 90% occupancy in their project. And that's a release point where the bank upgrades their valuation, and then they're allowed to borrow more money, which is allows them to cash flow their general facility charges. So it's all about timing. The question comes up, can a developer then just sit on it and not have to pay their fees? Well, in the payment of connection fee section, the step two has to occur at least within 1 year of step one. So there is a sunset clause. So even if they haven't hit that benchmark, then they're still required to make that payment. And the third and final step is the last 50%. And that's again, 1 year from step two. So this is a 2 year phased project, and we're phasing the general facility charges over 2 years as well. And there are mandatory sunsets for us to get paid all the way through. So from a fiscal standpoint, what's the difference to us? Is there any fiscal issue with that? If we were to receive the $600,000 right up front over 2 years with the interest rates that we're getting right now in investments, we'd probably earn about $800 over 2 years. We're about 0.1% is what the going investment rates are. So there's no really opportunity profit from interest here. It's more just what's the opportunity cost. If we're not able to stagger the general facility charges, then there's good chances that projects won't be able to come to fruition. So what are our risks? We're risking $800 for a project that'll bring in 686 or $655,000. So it's pretty prudent to go ahead and set up the development agreement, time those with the developer so they can time it with their cash flow. And by the end of that 2 year period, we're whole and we've received all our fees. Mark and I did talk about those fees. Are they scheduled for anything? There isn't anything urgent that those fees will be used for. We take those and turn into improvements to our sewer system. We can still cash flow everything, even with this staggered development agreement. So that's the main piece of the agreement. There is one other provision. They have a little bit of homework yet to wrap up on their parking. They have some adjacent parcels to put that parking on. And there is a requirement that before they get to a certain point of occupancy, they'll have that resolved and we'll have the parking situation squared away as well. So those are the two main parts. That's what a development agreement is. It's primarily for us to stagger the payment of development fees and also to put in there that they are on the hook for the parking issue as well. And we'll get that wrapped up before they get full closeout on the project. So what we look for tonight, as far as our tonight's action, is a motion by City Council to authorize the mayor to sign the development agreement, payment of general facility charges with Hodgin Corner LLC.
All right, and are there any questions for Doug at this point?
Yeah, I got a question. Now, does most go to a fund, go into the fund for future redoing of the plant, or is that used for day-to-day operations?
No, this would be the way we schedule these. The general facility charges go to the development of future infrastructure.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else?
Doug, just this is Councilman Allen. I read all that stuff and it's pretty scary.
Yeah.
say parking to me is one of the main things. And if they don't have adequate parking, I see you're working on that. I just think parking, well, obviously the sewer is, but parking is very important to me that it's addressed and taken care of. So anyway, just keep that in mind, in my mindset anyway.
Sure, you bet. We will do that.
All right. Thank you, Glenn. Anyone else? Okay, hearing none. Is there a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the development agreement payment of general facilities charges with the Hodgen Corner LLC?
Madam Mayor, Councilman McGoffin, I make a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the development agreement payment of general facilities charges with Hodgson Corner LLC.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. So we had a motion by Councilman McGoffin and seconded by Councilman Loy to approve the motion. Is there any more questions or conversation? If not, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Same sign. Okay. All right. Thank you, Council. We will move on now to, we don't have any unfinished business, so we will move on to new business. And to begin with will be the amendment to the regulations of the digital signs. So, Mr. Coleman, I believe this is you.
All right. Thank you again, Mayor. Good evening again, Council. So this is started out as an amendment to work on allowing digital signs in certain parts of the Central Business District. And so that went to the Planning Commission to look at it, whether or not digital signs should be allowed in the Central Business District and under what manner they should be allowed. And as staff brought this to the Planning Commission, we started to create rules for the Central Business District, we also realized our regulations for digital signs in general could be much more specific. Ours were fairly loose about regulating intensity and how fast signs could move. And so this blossomed into a much larger project where we created a new chapter that addresses digital signs. In addition to that chapter, we've brushed up our new section within our sign chapter in the municipal code. We've also brushed up other parts of that sign code to further address digital signs. And there was one other change in our design standards that had previously said that no digital signs are allowed in the CBD. So after drafting new rules, we're comfortable with proposing a change to the design standards that say except for is allowed for in chapter 1740, which is our proposed sign ordinance changes. Then signs are not allowed in the CBD. So if they meet these new sign regulations, then they would be allowed in the Central Business District according to the design standards. So the meat of this ordinance really is a new section to the sign code that is specific to all things digital signs. That's electronic reader boards, any animation, and scrolling. So really no stone was left unturned when it comes to digital signs throughout the city. And then there's also a special section of regulations for digital sign codes that address digital signs in the Central Business District and the public zone. So that was the other issue is some schools sometimes want digital signs, and the Planning Commission felt that the stricter guidelines that they're created for the Central Business District also make sense for schools, which sometimes, well, often are in residential areas. If anybody's seen the one at the Central School, you can see the school does a pretty good job of not making it too flashy or bright, but the Planning Commission wanted to see a little stricter regulations on signs like that. So what we've in essence has created digital standards for the CBD and public zone, and then digital standards, display standards for the mixed commercial zone and industrial zone. This does not change anything related to residential zones. Digital signs are not allowed in residential zones. In general, the sign code now will put tighter controls on all sorts of digital sign displays throughout the city. And then in the central business district, not only are there stricter regulations, which in essence say one color at a time being displayed with a dark background and only words. So electronic reader boards is really all that's allowed in the central business district under these new rules. So not only are there these stricter rules in the CBD, it also says that several sections of streets within the central business district are off limits for signs. So Planning Commission has elected to recommend that only sections of Eastern Street, Murdoch Street, Puget Street, State Street, and Ferry Street be allowed to have digital signs. Signs would not be allowed in areas of the central business district that have primarily residential use, and digital signs are not allowed in the historic downtown area. So nowhere on Metcalf, and then not on Woodworth or Ferry in that central, in that real, the down, you know, a couple of blocks off of each side of Metcalf. So created a, even though that's the main commercial zone, the Planning Commission felt it was a good idea to prevent digital signage in that historic downtown area. So that is this ordinance in a nutshell. Planning Commission did have three public meetings and an additional public hearing on this. So they had four separate meetings to address these issues. Many of them walked the downtown area to get a feel for where CBD, where signs would be appropriate and not appropriate. And in general, what they elected to do is the, you know, State Street is okay. That's primarily a busy street with commercial along most stretches of it. So State Street was felt to be okay. The western portion of Ferry is okay. And just in general, where there's more commercial, that's where they elected to allow it in the CBD. Are there any questions about this?
I've got a question. What brought this about? Was somebody complaining that they didn't like the signs, or somebody's complaining they couldn't get the signs? What brought these changes about?
So it was brought through the city council, a request for digital signage, electronic reader board at a downtown business on at E&E Lumber, to be honest, on State Street. Mm-hmm. And the owner of that business did support the changes that were proposed at the last public hearing.
Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Councilman Allen,
did
you go back to some of the old design review committee review boards recommendations from 25, 30 years ago and rehash those, or how did this come around? That's it.
No, we did not look at that. We did review the history of the sign ordinances in the central business district. There used to be 10 years ago, any signs proposed in the Central Business District used to have to go to a design review board. The council, upon hearing from downtown business owners who were not happy about having to go to a design review board to put up signage, made their feelings known to the council. And about 10 years ago, the council ended that practice of requiring a design review board review for signage. So over the years, what we've seen is the council and downtown business owners wanting more freedom for their signs. And that, again, this did again continue that trend as downtown business owners were asking for digital signage. And so we set about the process of public hearings to see if that's still appropriate.
I just have a comment. I know that there was a lot of thought that went into this, and the fact that the Planning Commission, I know a number of them did do, as you say, they did walk throughout town to see where they thought the signs would be appropriate, the type of businesses that we do have and where they're located. And so I on behalf of the council, I want to send our thanks for the hard work that they've done here, that they did put a lot of thought into this they did good work.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Councilwoman Kesty, I'd like to make a motion to approve ordinance number 1982-21 for the amendments to regulations for digital signs.
Okay. All right.
Councilman Quinn, I second.
All right. All right, thank you. So a motion was not necessary, but one has been made by Councilwoman Kesty, seconded by Councilman Owen. Is there any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. All right, so there we go. Thank you. Thank you, Council, and thank you, John.
Thank you, too, Council.
Moving on now to the amendments for the Shoreline Master Program. So, John, we have you back up again.
All right, I won't wander too far away then. So the next item on the agenda, as the mayor mentioned, is the required periodic amendments to the Shoreline Master Program. The Master Program is basically the city's rules for our shoreline jurisdictions, which is primarily Riverfront Park. There's a few other areas within the city that are near enough to the river that there's some regulations that may affect the fringe, mostly down by the hospital area, but not at the hospital, just some of the properties south of the highway, above what I refer to as the bench. They're along the Skagit River throughout Cedro Willy. There's a pretty defined step down from the city usable area where then it drops down to a lower area. This primarily affects that area, all the areas that are below that bench. The state required that we update this. We had just updated it, done major overhaul, more or less created a new Shoreline Master Program in 2016. This is just a minor brushing up to make sure that it still meets state requirements. And the state paid us, gave us an $18,000 grant to perform this periodic update. The Planning Commission findings of fact have the rather long history of how many meetings they had and what the process was. But the long and short of it is there really weren't any significant changes. There were some requirements to change the buffer widths for wetlands and in the shoreline jurisdiction, but there's not really a whole lot of wetlands down there that we're even aware of that it makes any effect on. And the rest was just updating to current information. So if you have any questions about this update, I'm happy to discuss them with you. And this is just a first read, so there's no need to pass anything today.
So are there any questions for Mr. Coleman? If not, we will see this again then at our next council meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Okay, that about wraps it up. It is a little after the 7 o'clock hour. So without any opposition, I am going to adjourn this meeting. Everybody have a good evening. Thank you.
Good night.
Night, everyone.
Good night.